With sadness, I announce, friends, that our friend, Mr. Harold Jemson, who preached here many times, passed to his eternal rest yesterday. May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 374. Send help, O Lord, we pray, and thy own gospel bless, for godly men decay, and faithful pastors cease. The righteous are removed home, and scorners rise up in their room. Hymn 374.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, from the book of Numbers, parts of chapters 13 and 14. We commence to read at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. We continue reading into chapter 14, down to verse 12. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Amen. May the Lord bless that portion to our souls. Help his servant to pray.
Dear Lord, in thy great mercy, thou hast spared us to see the dawn of another Sabbath here in this earth. Oh, as we gather on this thy holy day, we pray that thou wilt draw our hearts and our affections heavenward, away from the things of time and of this world. We may desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Oh, we pray that we may be as dear John of old, be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. And oh, may we know what it is for Satan to be shut out, and all distracting thoughts and cares be removed, and that we may know that sweet communion with Thee. We may be as dear Noah and Enoch of old, who walk with God. And oh, that we might have a closer walk with Thee, dear Lord, and that Thou wilt speak to our souls. We may have a sweet token of Thy everlasting love granted to us. Oh, we feel, Lord, so unworthy of the least of Thy mercy or of Thy truth. And oh, we would come pleading the precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, that name that prevails above every name, that name in which sinners can hope in and rest upon. Oh, we would come, dear Lord, confessing our many, many sins. And oh, Lord, Thou knowest how our sins and our iniquities testify against us. Knowest the vileness of our heart, and how often we have to say with the dear apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, we pray to be given grace to come humbly to Thy dear feet. Oh, do grant to us that God-given repentance, Lord, that needeth not to be repented of. Nor ever keep us from the Pharisee spirit. Lord, Thou knowest how we need Thee to wash us and Thee to cleanse us from all our sin and from all uncleanness. We pray to be washed in that precious blood of Jesus, and cleansed from all sin and guilt. Knowest how often we have to come, Lord, with the dear poet when he said, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And how we feel the need it continually, Lord, that washing from all sin. And oh, that we may know that precious blood of Jesus sweetly applied, and the peace of Calvary fill our soul. Oh, do grant to us, Lord, all needed grace that we may endure to the end. We may hold on our way. Oh, do make us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And help us to live to Thee and to Thy honour, to Thy glory. And to cast all our cares and burdens upon Thee. Knowest the burdens of each one that gathers. We pray Thou would help them to leave them all at Thy dear feet. For Thou hast promised to manage all by the way and to the end. And oh, we do pray, dear Lord, for Thee to keep us every moment. We cannot keep ourselves. We are prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. Oh, may we know much of Thy keeping power. Do keep us from sinning, Lord, and keep us from grieving Thee. And keep us humble and tender at thy dear feet. Oh, that we may be ever as nothing, and a precious Jesus, the all and in all. We do pray, dear Lord, for much patience to be given. You know, it's how impatient we are so often. And oh, we would come begging for that patience that thou dost give thy children, that we may be patient and steady and wait on thee still. Thou knowest those that need that heavenly patience, Lord. And oh, that we may have a little of that patience thou didst give to Job. And that our eyes might be up unto thee, from whence cometh our help. And oh, do soften our hearts, Lord, we mourn so often because of the hardness and rebelliousness of our heart. But oh, we pray to have that truly soft heart like dear Job had when he said, "For God maketh my heart soft." We remove all hardness and rebelliousness. And Lord, do keep us tender and in thy fear all the day long. We pray for the dear children here and the little ones. Remember them each, we pray, with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. And may they be kept, Lord, in these evil and solemn days, and given thy grace and fear, that they may follow on to know the Lord and to seek earnestly his face. Lord, do hear the prayers of dear parents for them. And know it's the burden and weight and concern and exercise of the dear parents and how they need thy divine help. And oh, we pray that thou wilt bless the dear young people. Do help them, Lord, to look to thee in all things. Oh, may thy grace and fear be implanted in their hearts, Lord, that they may live to thee and to thy honour and to thy glory. And may they and may we each, Lord, be examples to the world. May it be said concerning us as it was concerning thy dear disciples. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. May our lives and acts express the very gospel we profess. We pray, dear Lord, for those in middle age, that thou would help them, Lord, in all the difficulties and trials and concerns they have. That thou would undertake for them, and those in affliction's pathway, we pray for that needed healing and restoring. If it be thy holy will, and oh, do sanctify, Lord, the afflictions and trials thy people walk through, that out of the bitter there may come forth that which is sweet. And oh, do remember those in the evening time of life. May they prove, dear Lord, thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be light. May they and may we each be prepared to stand before thy face, for thy spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe and wash us in his blood, so shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. O Lord, we pray for those who are bereaved, and the bereaved church at Hanover. We pray that thou wilt sanctify this loss to Zion and to the family, Lord, and to all that mourn. Oh, we do thank thee for the ministry of thy late dear servant, and how thou hast used him over the years. We pray thou would hear the prayer in our opening hymn, that there may be yet better days in Zion, and faithful God-sent servants sent forth. Remember, dear Lord, the church and congregation here. We pray thou wilt feed the hungry with living bread, the thirsty might draw from the wells of salvation. And may there be thy blessing rest upon each one, and that thou would add to the church daily such as should be saved. And may thy servants, as they labour here, be granted gracious liberty in the anointing of thy Spirit. And all thy servants, as they labour today, and help thy dear servant with our own flock, may it be a day of the Son of Man upon the earth, and thy blessing descend. Lord, do remember all that need thee. Knowest, Lord, what we stand in need of before we even ask or think. But thou hast said, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Do bless the deacons and help them in the choice of the hymns and in the burdens and weights and responsibilities they have. We pray for wisdom and grace to be given. And may the hymns that we sing, Lord, be made a blessing to seeking, longing souls. And oh, may we know the realities what we see. And in mercy do turn this nation from its idols and wickedness and sin to seek thee and to serve thee. And may we have yet faithful, godly leaders to rule our land. And may the grace of God and the fear of God be implanted in our Queen and the royal family, that they may be faithful stewards before thee and before the land. And oh, do help us, dear Lord, to praise thee for all thy great mercies. We would not let them lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. We beg for that divine help to be given as we turn to thy holy word. Lift us above all our weaknesses, Lord, all the afflictions that seem to abound. And oh, do grant a true spirit of hearing to thy dear people. May a precious Jesus be exalted, sinners laid in the dust. And oh, may we have some sweet token for good, that we labour not in vain, or spend our strength for naught. Do forgive, dear Lord, what we've uttered amiss, all our many, many sins. Make up where we so fail. We would ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1144. Saviour, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Keep no longer at a distance. Shine upon us from on high, lest for want of thy assistance every plant should droop and die. Hymn 1144.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. The book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Not only did Moses commission the 12 to go into the land of each of the tribes of Israel, but the commission came from heaven to spy out the land. And we read, and Moses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, and of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. The commission for them to search the land came from the Lord himself. But what a different report there was brought back. 10 brought back a very evil report of the land. But Caleb and Joshua were to bring back a very blessed and sacred report of the land. And, you know, it's very searching. Think of how wonderfully the Lord anointed Caleb and Joshua to bring back that blessed report of the land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord told them it would be. But solemnly, the 10 that brought back that evil report, they looked at all the impossibilities that were in the land. And the reason why they did so was because there was no faith in them. That's why they brought back that evil report. All they looked at was were those things that were impossible. They looked at those that dwelt in the land, the Amalekites, in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites that dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites that dwelled by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And this is what they looked at. And you know, so often left to ourselves, and we've no stones to cast at them really, we view things from a carnal aspect, and that is very solemn. And this is what they did, you see. And then they looked too at the strength of the people. We read, and we read it just now, nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And this is all they looked at. They forgot what the Lord had put in the land. All the grapes that were there. All the food that was in the land, the milk, the honey. And they looked at all the things that were against them. But how wonderfully Caleb dealt with this situation. It's been with me much yesterday particularly. And what did Caleb do? You see, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were listening to all those things that these 10 men had brought back. And what did it cause? Uncertainty, chaos, confusion among the children of Israel. But what did Caleb do? It's a very precious word. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." And that was faith in gracious exercise. Now let us just briefly look at that. First, he stilled the people. You know, there were those of the children of Israel that were tossed around because of this report they'd heard. It brought, as I said just now, uncertainty and chaos. But how did Caleb deal with it? He stilled the people before the Lord. And I thought, how wonderful, you know, the grace that there was shining in Caleb. And the fear of God that was deep in his heart. And two, he was to be used as God's messenger here to still the people. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord speaks a word and it stills the troubled heart, doesn't it? And there may be those things in your heart that cause you much exercise and in your pathway today, and they cause so much uncertainty and tossing of mind. And unbelief creeps in and the devil makes full use of it, doesn't he? And he'll make full use of our weakness. But oh, that's still in effect. I remember, and I may have told you before, but many years ago now, I went down to Uffington to preach at the weeknight service. And from Ashwell, it was about 93 miles. And I preached that weeknight, and I came out of the chapel, and it was that thick fog, you couldn't hardly see your hand, as it were, in front of you. And I managed to drive out of Uffington, and in the end, I didn't know really what road I was on, and I had to stop the car and beg of the Lord that he would come and still my poor heart. The devil said, you've come all this way, you've preached to them, but what is done? And now you're in confusion in this fog. And as I stopped the car and begged of the Lord that he would appear, the Lord dropped those sweet words of the hymn writer into my heart. I've never forgot it. Brought safely by my hand thus far, why dost thou now give place to fear? And what was the effect of it in my poor heart? He just settled me. I could look back and see how he brought me thus far in the spiritual journey and in the journey from the chapel. And I started the car and I went about 300 to 400 yards up the road, and it was clear moonlight all the rest of the way. And you know, I felt such the savour of the presence of the Lord with me. But I had to come to that place where I couldn't help myself. I was at the ends of the earth. But the Lord knew how to still my poor heart. And it may be in things that toss you around, the sin within, the unbelief. You hear this report and that report, and oh, what does it do? It makes us unsettled. But here, Caleb stilled the people. And oh, may that sweetly be applied to your poor heart. The Lord can still your fears. He can still your poor mind. He can still all the troubles, like he did the sea with the dear disciples. You remember how they were tossed around in the sea. But what did he do? He came and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. It was complete stillness. And the last time we went to America, we went across Lake Michigan, and I understand, according to the American people, that when it is stormy, it's worse than the sea. And you know, the devil so tempted us that when we went across that lake, it would be stormy and tempests would rise. And but you know, we ventured out on that ship across the 60 miles across Lake Michigan. And you know, the Lord came and it was like a mill pond. And I've never forgot it, you know, how still, when the Lord stills a matter, he can do it in a moment. And here with the children of Israel, you see, Moses was troubled, so was Aaron and all the children of Israel, but Caleb stilled the people. And what did he say? Let us go up at once and possess it. You may say, well, that which is impossible. Well, it is with men. And it was with many of the children of Israel. And they'd heard this evil report from 10. You think out of the 12, there were only 2 that brought back a good report. Caleb and Joshua. And you see, they knew the giants were there. Let us just pause a moment on that. They knew the giants were there, but they didn't trouble them because they were all in the hands of the Lord. Whereas the other 10 just looked at the giants and forgot the Lord was upon the throne, controlling it all. And he says, let us go up at once and possess it. And that is faith in gracious exercise. You know, the old preachers used to say, venture in faith is the strongest faith. And how many times, well, with Moses and with Caleb and Joshua, they had to venture by faith. Think of the dear woman with the issue of blood. Press into the Saviour. How did she venture? She ventured by faith. Think of what the hymn writer said, if thou press on, the crowds will fly. Let us go up at once and possess it. Why? For we are well able to overcome it. And how could they overcome it? They were poor, weak characters. The giants were strong. The enemies in the land were strong. The impossibilities were great. The walled cities, very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, these giants, you see. You may have some giants before you today. But you know the Lord can overcome them. He overcame Goliath, didn't he? David did. No matter how great the giant was, or how great the armour that he had, and the Philistine army behind him, there was all this backing from behind him. But you know, they were always grasshoppers, weren't they? Before David. And the Lord was to overcome them. Let us go up at once and possess it. When we were looking for a house in Sussex, when I had accepted the pastorate at the Dicker, you know, we looked at several. And there were two particularly we felt inclined to make an offer on. And there were so many things tossing one way and then tossing the other, what we should do. And in the end, I felt so confused. I felt, well, we'll go back home and we have to leave the whole matter with the Lord. And just as we put all our things in the car to drive back to Steeplemorden, and my mobile phone went, and that was our eldest son saying, Dad, I should stay where you are because the M25 is closed all over through Dartford, and the west side is absolutely gridlocked. And, you know, we had to stay. And during the night, you know, I woke and I was so tossed about it all. I begged of the Lord that he would appear. And this house where we live now in Harsham was so laid on my heart. And I said, Lord, if it's right, show me. Tell me what to do. And you know, the Lord spoke audibly from heaven these words, and I didn't know at the time where they were. Let us go up at once and possess it. And you know, the effect of it just melted me. And it so softened my heart that the Lord should be so kind to tell me exactly what to do. Let us go up at once and possess it. And, you know, I begged of the Lord that in the morning I wouldn't say a word to my wife about it. But the Lord had laid in her heart, and she would come to me and say, we must go into that house at Hailsham. And, you know, I stood in the kitchen and having a drink, and she came in and she put her arms round me. And she said, you know, we must go up and possess it, the one at Hailsham. And, you know, it just melted me. You see, the Lord went before us in it. Now, so he went before Caleb and Joshua in spying out this land. And he showed them that all that was in it was in the Lord's hand. And they must possess it. But oh, you think of the solemn state of those ten. They looked at all the uncertainties, and that's what our unbelief does, doesn't it? And that's what our own deceitful heart does. It looks like Peter, I think I might have hinted at it on Wednesday, or Tuesday rather. You know, we are easy looking at the sea, aren't we? And looking at the waves when we should be looking to the dear Redeemer. And here Caleb, you know, and Joshua, they looked above all the impossibilities, these giants. And those giants you may say, well, let's look at them, the giant of sin. You cannot remove it, can you? Nor can I. But there's one that's able to remove it all. Oh, yes. The Lord himself and the dear Redeemer, you know. He shed that precious blood at Calvary to remove all the giants of sin that his dear people know and feel and experience. It was all put away there. But oh, to have that faith to look to him who can overcome those giants. And then your giants may be something in your providential pathway. Or the giants may be in the church of God. You know, many tender, God-fearing children are often timid and think, how can they venture to follow the Lord? How could they venture to speak to his dear people? And they look at them as giants. As I said the other week in hearing the testimony of some, you know, I said to them, you know, you're not here before judges. We're all poor sinners. And we need mercy just the same as you do. And we need the Lord's appearing as you do. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Overcoming all these impossibilities, for we are well able to overcome it. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to some poor seeking soul today. We are well able. Not in yourself, poor soul. Not Caleb couldn't do it, nor could Joshua, but Caleb's God did. And Joshua's God did. Overcome it all. But I want to look at this text. You see, and then you may have many other giants. But you see, they're all in the hand of the Lord. What do we sing in one of the hymns? He raises monarchs to their throne and sinks them as he's pleased. Such is the power of Caleb's God and Joshua's God. But then in our text we find, after the Lord reproved the children of Israel so solemnly for their unbelief, the disbelieving of Moses, of Joshua and Caleb, and he so rebuked them. But then we find in our text this beautiful word, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Let us look as helped at this other spirit. Those ten, you know, they had the spirit of self in them, first of all. They had the spirit of a carnal mind in them. And they looked at the land from a carnal viewpoint. This was not the spirit of Caleb. He had another spirit. And then we often have the spirit, don't we, of rebelliousness. And they did. And then we have the spirit of self-righteousness. They did. And then we have the spirit of worldliness and of carnality. And the spirit of pride. That's what's in man's nature. And so we may list many other things. But you see, with Caleb, there was something different. He had another spirit with him. Now let us remember as we look at this, this is what the Lord said about Caleb. It wasn't what this one said or somebody else said. It wasn't what Moses said. It wasn't what Aaron said or Miriam. It was what the Lord said about Caleb. But my servant, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, the Lord, you see, has his servants. We think of the great loss of dear Mr. Jempson. Of course, one has a special thoughts and love of that dear man because, and I say it to the glory of God today, you know, when he was so exercised about joining the church at Tenterden, his dear father told me this. He said, you know, he came to see his father about joining the church, the late Mr. George Jempson. And it was a Saturday. And his father heard what he had to say of his exercise and how the Lord had brought him. And he said to dear Mr. Jempson, he said, now, you go home. And he said, if this exercise in your heart is right, then, he said, when you go up to the house of God on the Lord's day, the servant of God will preach it. And I happened to be the poor minister that Lord's Day afternoon. I went to help them out for the afternoon. And the Lord gave me this text. A word fitly spoken is as apples of gold in pitchers of silver. And the Lord led me into the case of Legion, the mad Gadarene. And how the Lord delivered him from that deadness and coldness and dwelling among the tombs and brought him to the feet of Jesus and then go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. And I remember saying all those years ago, you know, he got something to tell them. And you know, I went into it and it was so wonderful. This was exactly the exercise of dear Mr. Jempson, you see, as he went to see his father. And his dear father said, if the Lord has sent Robert Field to preach, he'll come right where you are. And he'll preach what you're in. And that's exactly what happened. I say it to the glory of God because I look back and stood amazed at that Lord's day, how the Lord did it. So I have a special love to him because of that. But many have because of hearing. But you know, there's another point I want to just name. And oh, to have this other spirit like Caleb did. The year he went to preach, I was ill and lay for 2 weeks with a raging temperature and unable to preach and was so ill. And while I lay there, I was thinking back over the journey of one's life and dear Mr. Jempson seemed to be laid on my heart, and I said, Lord, thou knowest how thou didst bring him to follow thee in the sacred ordinance of the Lord's house. Thou knowest, and he'd never breathed a word to me about it, how he's exercised about the ministry. And it was so laid in my heart to pray for the dear man. the Lord would send him forth. You see, not only was he to speak then to the church, but he was to speak further of what the Lord had done. And the spirit of the exercise of the ministry, and he laid it on me. And you know, I couldn't get away from it. And within a few days after this was upon me, my father phoned to see how I was and whether I was feeling better from the affliction we were in. And he said, I've got some news for you. And he said, Mr. Harold Jempson's gone into the ministry. And you know, it just melted me. Because it was all what was laid in my heart concerning him. So we feel much the loss today. And Zion's loss. And you know, in many ways, he had what Caleb had here. Another spirit in him. That didn't mean to say he wasn't from time to time left to himself, or we are. We've no stones to cast. But, you know, this other spirit, the spirit of grace, the spirit of supplication, the spirit of tenderness and of humility and meekness. And this is what was found in Caleb, you see. And not only this, the spirit of God's grace. Another spirit. You don't find the spirit of grace in the world, do you? You don't find the spirit of humility in the world. We know some are naturally more humble than others, but you know, real grace will humble the sinner and make them feel nothing before the Lord. You think of Legion, just going back to him, how hard he was and how rebellious. This is how the ten were that went to view the land. But not so with Caleb. You think of Legion when he was brought to the feet of Jesus, humbled in the dust. We read he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Another spirit was in him, wasn't it? The spirit of humility and of love to the Lord and of grace shining forth. My great concern is when the Lord gave me this text yesterday that we might have this other spirit. You see, it's so easy to have the spirit of hardness and rebelliousness and self-righteousness. And what does it do? It hardens the sinner. And we are hardened to sin. And hardened in rebelliousness against the Lord. But under humility, this other spirit. You say, and where that spirit prevails, what did Jesus say? And the apostle took it up in his letters to the churches. Except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. You think it's a very solemn, searching word that is to me, you know. Have we the Spirit of Christ? Do you think how the Saviour dealt with even his enemies? The Spirit he showed. You know, it's not always what a person said, it's the Spirit they've got. And you think of it concerning dear Caleb. He was so different than Joshua than those other ten, wasn't he? But my servant Caleb, this is what the Lord said, my servant. Now, the dividing line goes right through Swavesey Chapel this morning. We're either the servants of the Lord or we're servants of the devil. You cannot serve two masters. Very solemn, you know, if you read that notable sermon of Whitfield's when he stood and preached there before the mayor and corporation, was it not, at Abingdon, The first thing he said was, I stand here either as a servant of God or a servant of the devil. And you see, well, how solemn and searching that is. Where do we stand? This is the vital point. Just because I'm a poor minister, it doesn't mean to say that I'm a servant of God. You think of Judas. He was used solemnly in the ministry. The disciples couldn't detect any difference, but he was a servant of the devil. How close it comes, you see. But here the Lord was speaking this to concerning dear Caleb, but my servant. Now let us bring it right home to us each. Who are we serving? Many serve themselves, many serve men, many serve the devil. Those 10, you know, as they went forth, they weren't in the same spirit as Caleb, were they? As I've said. You see, they looked at everything from their own carnal viewpoint. And where did it bring them? It barred them from the land. Oh, you think how solemnly we have it recorded of how they were barred from entering the land. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, he'd still got his old nature. He was still a poor man, but it was in him was another spirit. And that blessed other spirit ruled his spirit. You know, I used to have one of my deacons at Ashwell. He used to pray in the vestry before the service. And he often used to say this, Lord, may thy spirit rule our spirit. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we feel the Lord rule in our spirit, controlling us, making us submissive to his will, tender before him, the mind and spirit of Christ, grace reigning. And when grace reigns, what are we? We're nothing before the Lord. We're poor, needy sinners. We need him every hour. And my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You see, there was something very blessed to follow this. But oh, let us fix our hearts and our minds. What sort of spirit have we? Except ye have the spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Is the spirit of grace reigning in your heart? Well, let me come low. Do we desire that it may reign? And you know, many times I had to go to meetings and that, and I had to say, Lord, but keep me from my own spirit, but unfold thy spirit to me and thy mind to me. And you see, this is what the Lord gave to dear Caleb and Joshua. So as they went forth, faith was given to look wholly to the Lord and to lift their eyes above all the impossibilities. I love that couplet of the hymn. Keep your eyes on Jesus fixed, and there your hope to stay. His goodness he will make to pass before you in the way. And we need the Lord to draw our eyes heavenward and draw us to him, you see, that his spirit might live and reign in us. Well, I must leave it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, oh, may we each have that other spirit, and hath followed me fully. Have you? And have I? Him will I bring into the land where into he went. What a blessed thing that is, isn't it? And do we not desire to enter into the heavenly kind? And his seed shall possess it. Well, may the Lord forgive anything amiss and bless his word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. Hymn 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. Hymn 277.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Take us now into thy kind care and keeping. Be with us through the interval. Come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.